QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz plus offset, get it out there, a 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. They also have a Facebook page at K6BB Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, and other things too. A gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Alright, hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. The topic of this evening will be in the things other than and including ham radio. Tonight we're going to talk about some of the new computers out there and what they can do in regards to passwords. I know we all use passwords for everything. And what's been going on out there? I think we've all heard news items with certain websites being hacked and passwords being hacked and what that. So we're going to delve in there. We're not going to tell anybody how to do it. It's not our topic. And we're going to talk about how it's briefly being done and what you can do to protect yourself. Anyway, let's start out with our brief little roster here. We'll start out with KA6CIA George. I don't hear George out there. He's out there somewhere, I'm sure. I'll move on down here to, let's see. Oh, the Mike's out there. KJ6HCS. Mike.
Evening, Tom and the group. KJ6HCS.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Glad to have you out there. How about WA6IATC, Rod?
Yeah, from Lake Williams, WA6IATC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to see you today. KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and all y'all. KJ6FIL.
Good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there from Redlands. All right, well, I'll see if he's out there. Not sure. How about KJ6KDL Jim? And he can check in KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDL here. I don't know if Rosemary's on Echo Link or not.
I don't see her out there, Jim, but that's okay. Hopefully she'll be home soon.
Affirmative, that's tomorrow. Let me go pick her up.
Well, good deal. Hope everything went well. All right, let's see here. Moving on down the list here. How about W6GZI? We'll see if Frank's out there. I don't hear Frank out there this evening. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Yes, KI6IQA.
Good evening, Kelly. Glad to have you out there. How about K9AOG, Steve from Long Beach? Steve, how about K6GBL, Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom. This is Ron, K6GBL from Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there. How about 86PL, Harold?
86PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there from Riverside. Let's see, I know he was out there earlier. I missed him. How about K6LCS Quint? Well, no, you know what? I think he's in doggy owner training still. We'll give him a call just in case. No, I know. I don't know why they ended up with that on Tuesdays, but they did. That's okay. All right, how about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. How about K6YNW, Chris? Maybe Chris will join us in a bit. How about W6POO, Chip?
Hey, Tom and Annette, this is W6POO, Whiskey 6, Papa Oscar, Oscar, Palm Springs.
Well, good evening there, Chip. Hopefully it wasn't too hot down there today. I know it's been beautiful up here. That means it's a lot warmer where you're at, but hopefully it was okay for you. How about KD6LAN Bill from Boulder Bay?
Well, if you're talking about me at the West End, here I am, KD6LAN.
Hey, Bill. Got you in there. A little noisy, but hey, that's you anyway, right? No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's see here. Let's see if we can skip around here a little bit. All right. How about AE6TK Victor?
Pink, Tom and Vinette, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
Good evening there, Victor. Glad to have you out there. How about KA6ROD Rod, Moon Ridge? He's out there probably pounding the key. All right, not a problem. How about W6JET? We'll see if Rob's out there. No Rob this evening. How about KJ6RAY? Ray. Well, I know he'll catch up to us. He's probably out there mobile. And let's see. I have a couple other names here on my fill-in list here. And let's see here, how about, where did they go? That's okay. Anyway, let's see if we get a couple of these people in here that I know are out there listening. I have many lists. Here is another list over here. Do I sound like I'm disorganized? Well, you're right, I am. Anyway, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll go ahead and call for other people's check-ins. We have somebody listed here. I think I'm getting them misplaced here. Ah, here we go. Okay, KK6FJE. Let's see if we got Zach.
Howdy, y'all. This is KK6FJE, Zach in Sugarloaf. Sorry, I haven't been on the last couple weeks. Technical difficulties. No antenna.
Well, Zach, I understand that one. My HF antenna is down, and I still got my 2 meter up there, and that's about where I'm at here, so good to hear you back on there. How about KK6HUB? Let's see if we got Bob.
Yeah, hey there, Tom and the group. KK6HUB.
Bob, glad to have you out there. Let's see if we got W2PFA. Let's see if Art's out there from Riverside.
I'm in the group W2PFA, and I waited my turn tonight.
You know, Art, and nobody was really keeping track of that. Glad to have you out there. All right. We threw a couple more names out here. W6OXA. Let's see if we have Omar. All right. How about W6CYS John?
Beautiful uptown fun kids.
Well, you're in there, John. You're a little kind of a little bit of sizzle on your signal there, but that's okay. Got you in there. All right, and I do have a lot of other names, and some people are in there, and some people aren't from week to week, but that's okay. Anybody who just wants to check in for this evening, please come back to KF6Q.
KF6RAY Mobile.
We got you in there. Glad to hear you out there. Anybody else?
Tom, this is Colin.
Good evening, everybody. This is KK6LDA. Just got my call sign and general license today. Back to you.
Well, Colin, glad to hear you out there. And for everybody who does not know that, Colin passed his tech and general at our last test session at the end of March. So congratulations. You got your call sign. And glad to have you out there. Anybody else? Right. Well, I know we have a lot of listeners, and that's great. That's okay. I just love to have everybody out there listening in here each week. Jim, if you're still out there, I know some of this stuff is what you do for a living with security and whatnot. We're going to talk about, anyway, this evening with passwords, computer passwords, passwords to your bank accounts, passwords to get online, passwords for your router to work. Password. We have passwords everywhere anymore, and if you're like a lot of us, or me, you tend to use the same password for many things, so you don't have to have so many things to remember, and that's okay, but it's important that the password is safe. We're going to talk about password safety this evening. And Jim, I'm just going to bounce a couple things back and forth off you, nothing really crucial here, but Jim, in the last, say, 5-6 years, as usual, I mean, our computer technology continues on the electronic side to inch into faster and faster computers. Just as a matter of fact, I know you've phased out some computers out of the bank. You've got new stuff in there. It's just an ongoing thing. Jim, if you know, just off the top of your head, what would you say the cycle is for the banks or other people with replacing equipment? Just real quick, back to you, Jim.
Well, Tom, the general answer is roughly 5 years, and Microsoft came up with this number back in the late 1980s, getting close into end of 1989, when they decided that they were going to phase out DOS 3.31. And I was in aerospace at the time, and it became an issue. We now have a cycle of 5 years of active operating system and 5 years of legacy support, mostly because of government influence. That came about because Microsoft realized at the time, Intel being a major hardware player, that hardware tends to evolve over a 3 to 5 year cycle, and so software gets to become more complex. And so we have this never-ending cycle of hardware becoming more and more efficient and then software being able to do more and more. And with that complexity comes, you know, the Madman Mutz theory. The more you throw into something, the more likely something is to break. So that just generally means that the more complex the code, the more likely there's going to be a flaw somewhere that someone can take advantage of. So we have this never-ending cycle of hardware becoming faster, making exploits easier and easier to become prominent, and software needs to become more and more complex, and then it taxes current hardware. So unfortunately, even though we'd like to buy something and hold on to it for a long period of time, technology will not let us do that. And I have another add-on a little later on for working with passwords when you get there. Back to you, Tom.
Well, Jim, thanks for that. That's basically that 3 to 5 year cycle is what we're talking about here. And we're going to just briefly dive back into, and don't hold me to these dates, but I'm going to say back into the late 1980s, early 1990s. If you were going online to buy something or any type of encryption, they used to have a thing called a 40-bit encryption. What does that mean? Well, you don't really have to know what that means. It's just it was 40-bit encryption, and that was considered to be whatever that, however that scrambled and encrypted your transactions or whatever you were doing, was adequate, because to crack that code would take years or decades or maybe even more than that. and it was considered to be uncrackable. And then, Jim, I know we switched over to 128-bit encryption. I'm not sure if we're still at that. We might have gone up even higher yet, which is like three times. Well, that sounds like a number of three times more. It's actually way more than that. It's exponentially higher. With that said, because then we needed that, because computers, we didn't have the old IBM PCs, the 286s, the 386s, that were trudging along there at maybe 20 or 25 megahertz. You know, we have computers now that are almost 100 times just the basic CPU speed. Jim, do you remember when we went to 128-bit, and I don't even know if we're still there. Maybe you could just fill me in on that real quick.
Yeah, the binary code is actually 1024, and the next one up is 2048. And there are a mixed mode of environments on level of bit encryption and password length, and I can get into that. It's basically called entropy. And basically, when you start crunching numbers and using algorithms that handle 1,024 bits or 2,048 bits, the processor becomes heavily burdened, because usually these things are layered, and you're really just slowing down. At some point, the trade-off gets minimalized, and so encoders have found that they will use different encryption levels, like onions have layers, and so instead of using a 2048 encryption level, they may use three 1024s, and it turns out to be much faster and much more difficult. So as hardware gets faster, we'll find that will jump. But we're seeing a mixture of, if you go and buy an SSL certificate from the major players out there on the market, Symantec now owns one of them, and DigiCert's another, a handful of others, you'll find that they use 2048 single layer encryption keys for you to have secure web pages. So I think that'll be enough for now. We'll touch on some more if we get there. KJ6KDL, back to you, Tom.
And Jim, that's actually way more than what I was asking for. I appreciate that. That is true. As we get into more, and essentially I draw off what you were saying there, the more, the tougher the encryption layer, it actually slows our whole process down just to make it work. And so there's like those trade-offs, as you said. Well, let's get back to the actual basic password that the basic you and me out there, and I know a lot of people out there listening are use computers to a bare minimum. I think you've been out there, you've probably got a couple things you might log on to with passwords, and you know, just how safe is that? You hear about all these different, like LinkedIn, there was a couple of different, we're calling them social network sites that have been cracked with passwords. What they're actually doing here is they're actually not going out. You and I both know, we try to log into something, whether it's your dog on messages from your phone or whatever, you've got probably two or three attempts, maybe a few more, and you don't get it right, it's going to lock you out. Okay, let me reset. You know, and this is not actually what we're worried about. These people, and we're going to call them the black hat hackers, okay, whatever you want to call them. They're getting in there, and they're actually on the other end of this. When you enter your username and your password into something, the first thing that it does, it runs it through an algorithm. Well, algorithm, there you go. New word for night, algorithm. What is that? Well, it's a fancy name for a formula. And this formula will spit out a number. The number is always the same length, but the number is always going to be different. That number will be based on what you type. You change one letter, that whole number changes drastically. And that number is the second new word for tonight, if you're keeping score. That's called a hash. And that hash is actually the result of running your password or your password username through an algorithm. Let me reset. So with all that said, it seems like that would be pretty secure, and for the most part it is. One of the first flaws that all these places use is the algorithm. And they do, you know, they're not all the same, but there's only about a good maybe half a dozen that are used, and there's a few modifications of those that create another half a dozen. So there's probably about 12 algorithms out there, and that's not a lot. So you basically, you've got a choice of 12 algorithms that's actually going to make this thing, if you were actually trying to come up with some new hashes to match somebody's password, not that hard if you're into that type of stuff, which we're not, but we're going to talk about how to protect yourself. Let me reset. Well, with all that said, I think all of us know that if you had a password that was only two letters long, that wouldn't be very hard to guess. You might have to go through, you have basically 52, you've got 26 lowercase letters, 26 uppercase letters, numbers, there's another 10, so you have about 62, maybe another half a dozen or more special characters, so we'll just say 70 characters or more. There are more, that's not, don't carve that in stone, of basic characters. And you've got it in two columns. Well, you can actually take 70 times 70, which is, 4,900 right there. So you get 4,900 different combinations, and if you go through all those, eventually you will find that password, if it's two letters long. Let me reset. And KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. So with that said, if you get the idea here, as we get passwords with longer or more characters, variants in that, not all lowercase and stuff like that, and you'll find a lot of sites will recommend that you have a minimum of, say, 6 or 8 characters, and there is a reason. But lo and behold, our lower limits there of 8 characters is in trouble. And the trouble is like Jim was saying, is we've had years and many 3-year spurts here and 5-year spurts of technology on the computer side of getting incredibly fast. Let me reset. When I say fast, obviously I think most of us out there, we either are checking our email, we're surfing the net, maybe we're posting on Facebook or tweeting a tweet, or checking the news, whatever, we're, on the net, whatever. And that's a lot of what most people use their computers for. You can have this hyper-speed computer, brand new spot. You're nowhere near using its capabilities, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. If they build faster cars, then that would be terrible because we'd all end up in wrecks, but you're going to buy a new car, it's going to be a more efficient car, it's going to be capable of doing more things. Whether or not you use those capabilities, of course, is up to you. And this is where we are with computer hardware, and we're going to get into that in just a second. Anyway, I'm not going to pick on anybody out there in particular, but I'm Ron, if you're still out there from Green Valley, K6GVL. I know that we had talked earlier, and you said that you're not really a computer guy, and you really don't use it a lot. What would you say, and you're probably one of many out there, what would be your total, what's your main usage of your computer, Ron, if you're out there?
Oh, I surf the net, going to various distributors that I deal with in my business, ordering parts from them, checking my stock market, going to my stock broker's website and checking my stocks and then calling him up. I don't do any buying or selling over the internet. It's over the phone, voice to voice or eyeball to eyeball. Email, I do not send out any emails as such. I may forward some. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on LinkedIn. I have a private security company, and when you're on Facebook or LinkedIn, this is K6GBL for ID, You're giving away your personal information that you paid private investigators good money to find out about you. But I let my partner handle that end of the business, and I handle the other end of the business that goes boom. And that's about what I use it for, not much more. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and I think that's a lot. I mean, you've got, you know, different investments that, you know, you keep track of. Limited use of email. And, of course, the Internet is a great, great source of stuff that's out there, information, things. I am not either. I have a Facebook account, but that's only so I can moderate on the Big Bear side. That's it. And that's the limit of it. I agree with that part. And emails, well, being in what I do, everything is sent over email. I have a lot of stuff that comes through email, so email is something that I use a lot. So between looking for information, surfing the net for that, or just looking for products out there, you know, and email, I mean, I'm going to say that that's the majority of my usage. Bill, I know you're a limited use guy out there. Not picking on you, but Bill, I mean, I think you too are like basically limited with just, you know, and we all play games on computers, so that's okay. It's all right to admit that. Hey, they're fun. It's our relaxation. Bill, KD6LN, if you're still out there, you're an email guy, and that's about it, pretty much, right?
Yeah, just barely sometimes, once a millennial, whether I need to or not.
You know, and that's perfectly fine. And I think that all of us have different little quirks that we do and what we use them for. You know, sometimes our work is strictly on the computer. I know that with our construction business, of course, all our estimates, all our proposals, all of our stuff came through computers and spreadsheets like that, which we used to use a lot. We don't, of course, do that much anymore. But with all that said, so we all have these different things, and no matter what, I think everybody, what we just said there, unless you're doing video processing to the intent side trying to actually find the last digit in Pi, you're probably going to be actually out there not using the full strength of that laptop or your desktop or your pad computer and whatnot. So that's just the way it is. Let me reset. However, technology marches on. We have forgotten actually one group out there, which are the gamers, people who literally play, you know, and a lot of this is kids. Some of the kids are grown adults. And the money and the hardware out there for computer gaming, role-playing, adventure playing, all those types out there, huge investment by manufacturers on producing the best graphics. And the graphics cards that do this are actually, that's our Achilles heel we're about to talk about. Jim, real quick, do you have any kind of special graphics cards? I know you got some good gear there. Are you running basically stock stuff?
I'm running lower tiered add-on graphics cards for basic processing to get the video speed halfway decent, but I don't do anything that requires crazy graphic speeds like gaming. In fact, I haven't done any video editing for several years, but it's amazing. The new video cards out will cost several hundred dollars easily and have amazingly more processing power than the processor on the main board, mainly because of the graphics, intensity of graphics needed. And I think you're about to talk about how that can be used to our disadvantage when it comes to bad guys.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I think everybody out there has heard the term CPU. Not 3PO. He was 3CPO. That was Star Wars. This is CPU, the central processing unit. Term's been probably around since the 60s or before. But it was a long time back that people with games and gaming products and stuff like that realize that the computer's already doing a lot of work, the CPU's already, you know, really out there cranking away, why not put a special processor right on the video card itself? And all that thing is going to do is 3D graphics and moving stuff around, and it doesn't have to worry about all the other stuff out there. It doesn't have to be reading the hard drive. It doesn't have to be checking the keyboard. It's basically in there. It's just moving pixels and doing basic movement, and some of these are math functions to get this. So basically, it's called a graphics processing unit, GPU. And GPUs have been around for some time. And this is where we've had a huge amount of forward movement in technology. Let me reset. GPUs, and there can be multiple GPUs, and these boards, like Jim said, $200-$300, and every year there are boards that are $200 or $300, and they're newer and they're better than the boards that were there last year. Well, let's just drop back 3 years ago, and let's drop back maybe even 6 years ago. There were incredible boards out there that were $200 and $300, and they had incredible GPUs. The ones we have today are a lot better, but those ones that are out there 3 years old, maybe 6 years old, they're available right now. They're still, you can buy them. They're $10. They're maybe $20. They're not $200. And the ones we have right now, they're $200 and $300. In a few years, there will be better ones out there, and they will be way down below $50, $40, $30, and falling. And this is where we have what's called, we're going to introduce another term tonight called COTS, C-O-T-S. Let me reset. What is a COTS? No, that's a custom. Yeah, you can sleep on a COTS. COTS is an anachronism for consumer off the shelf. And what does that mean? Well, that means that you don't have to work for the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, or whatever, to buy this gear. This is gear that you can go buy, you and me. You go to Best Buy, Fry's, or whoever is left out there selling electronics online, Tiger Direct, many of these distributors, Newegg, and we can buy it. And it's basically, you know, what they call off the shelf. No security clearance needed. These GPUs with this incredible speed, now they may operate not too far off from the CPU speed, but they've been, what do you call, slimmed down lean and mean, as they call it, to do incredible number crunching, and that is what cracking passwords comes in. KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can, with all the technology that we can. And so what happens is these software cracking programs, which are free, they're out there. I'm not going to tell you where to go get them. I'm not going to tell you what they are. If you want information, you're going to have to Google this up yourself. But the fact is they are freely available to anybody. And the best of them are out there that use the, basically, they don't use the CPU. They use these GPUs, these graphic processing units, these incredibly fast things. And what's happening now, aftermarket stuff that's, you know, marked down, a little bit older with all that, well, here's what happens. It doesn't take now $10,000 to set up a state-of-the-art, you know, hardware basically for cracking passwords. You probably, you're going to find it at a yard sale. Let me reset. Yeah, some of this stuff, which is no longer the latest and greatest, is being tossed, literally. And as the, and what's bad is that, so it's so much easier for it to get in the hands of the bad guys. So they have what's called brute force cracking, which is basically where you simply start with every possible character and start with, well, an example would be A, and then go to the last one, switches to a B. And they simply move through this entire amount, and there is a way to protect yourself against all that. What used to be great, which was anything 6 or 8 characters, is no longer, and looking into the future, what's down the road a bit, many different things are, is don't use your birthday, okay? Here's an example, your birthday. Think about this. There are 365 days in the year, therefore there are 365 days possible. If you were born in the last 50 years, there are 50 years possible. Multiplying that out, you've got under 2,000 possible, or 20, is that 20 LCM? 40, that would be, yes, 20,000, I'm sorry. 20,000 different combinations. That sounds like a lot. That is nothing. And I'm about to tell you something that will blow your mind. Let me reset. Some of these new, let's just put a more recent but been around for a while, processors, computers, and with one of the basically not too ancient but very cheap GPU graphics boards installed. And by the way, you can put more than one graphic board in a computer if you got an old computer. They can hold it. Some of them can hold up to four or five. Yeah, and yes, that means that there's four or five times the processing power. But with just one and one computer, I mean, we're looking at things that can compare, analyze, and either reject or go on into the billions, that's right, comparing billions of passwords per second. Per second. Yes, and that's a lot. And that's actually a very, that's very low on the total pool. There are actually more out there that are even more advanced than that. So what this is that essentially the brute force method has become now something that's very possible. What really helps to kill this a little bit, take your passwords, if you've got a password out there or something, lengthen it. Get it to be 8, 9, 10 characters long. Throw some numbers in there. Use a 3 for an E. Use a 0 for an O. A couple of these things, just they help a lot more than you think. Make it something you can remember. my wife generated a password years ago, and now by today's standards, it's still state-of-the-art. And all she did is it was something that reminded her of something in her life with one of her pets and the year. And this thing is a sequence of words which would make no sense to anybody else or would be on a word list, which is what we're going to get into next. Jim, real quick, word lists and hashes, which is really not much that you know you're going to see in the banking industry, but have you had any experience with some of the word lists out there and actually what they're getting from LinkedIn and a couple of these other sites, Yahoo, and I could go on. There's quite a few that have been cracked. What they're getting are word lists from real passwords from real people, and you'd be surprised how many are duplicates. Jim, any comments? Go ahead.
Oh, boy. I could go off in, like, three different directions. So, all right. Well, if anybody does a search on the in the search panel and just type in most common computer passwords, you will come up with websites. And I pulled up a PC World article for January 2014, most common passwords of 2013. And they listed 25. I'll just go through a handful of these and see how many people get shocked. 123456 was the most common stolen password by what you were referring to, these bots that go out in massive attack quantity and hit the vulnerabilities of sites that store user IDs and passwords. Password, the word password was number two. And then variations of 123456 7 8 123123 admin password 1 monkey. There's a whole bunch. You can find them. If I listed one of your passwords, you need to change it. So to give some people some ideas, hashing is when you come up with a phrase, and phrase, I don't mean an actual word per se, it could be a combination of numbers, letters, cases, symbols on the keyboard that mean something to you that you can memorize. Don't tell anybody what it is. And when you go to a website, you remember those. Say, pick 8 characters that you memorize. And then you go in and you create, say, an Amazon account. Add something to that that to you reminds you of Amazon. And then when you go to, say, Facebook or Twitter or your stock exchange, pick another combination of numbers and letters that remind you of that site. Never tell anybody your hash. If you get to 12 characters, you would be surprised how many years it would take for a computer to crack that password. 8, not a big deal. But when you start adding upper and lower case numbers, the symbols above the numbers, you add to the complexity so tremendously, it just takes it out of the realm that you could imagine that a computer could crack in a reasonable amount of time. I will stop here and get back to you, Tom. I've got more to add.
And that's actually, what Jim's saying there, that's the most important thing. 8 used to be great. 8 was great, no longer. No longer so. I'm trying to think here, see. I think my wife is something like 12, something like that. Of course, I'm one of the guys with the real easy one to crack on a lot of mine, and it's less than 8. And then shame on me, but I, reading these articles, I'm really a believer now. And this is an example, Jim, what used to take, and this is seriously, you'll find these articles out there, Google up passwords and cracking passwords, you're actually going to get a lot of articles on what's going on out there. It's good reading. It's like, okay, we all know you can use a Slim Jim to break into a car. Just because you know that doesn't mean you're going to go do that. So it's good to know how the stuff is happening for your protection. And that's what this is all about tonight. Let me reset. So with that said, more is better, a lot better. The difference between 8 and 10 characters is huge. It could be actually going from something that would be cracked in a matter of days and turn it into a matter of months or years. And 10 to 12, something that went from years, could be actually upward in centuries. It is that radical. It's exponential. I'm going to say that one more time. I won't get it straight. It's exponential, which means like we have with our own numbering system. You have 100. You go from the 100. There's 100. You go. You add 10. You've gone to 1,000. You just added 900 more possibilities. You add another zero there. You're at 10,000. You've just added 9,000 more possibilities by adding one character. Well, we have more than 0 through 9 for our character base with our passwords. We have 52 with just uppercase, lowercase. We have 62 if you include the digits. And I'm going to say this is off the cuff, probably close to 80 characters. So every time you do that, you multiply not by 10, but by 80. So it's 80 times 80 times 80 times 80, and that just becomes a very huge number. Real quick, back to Jim. Any comments? KF6Q.
Absolutely, Tom. KJ6KDL with KF6Q and the Tech Tuesday group. If anyone is interested in testing passwords, there is a guy named Steve Gibson from Gibson Research Center. On his website, he created a page where you can test passwords, and yes, he is legitimate. He is the guy who actually figured out Windows 98 shares directories from the C prompt by default when he got his cable modem back in 1996. So, 7, I think it was. So, interesting guy. Gibson Research Center, that's golfromeocharlie.com/haystack.htm. You can do a search for grc.com/haystack. You will find this. Type in a password, and it will give you a scenario. If you're online, you can assume about 1,000 guesses per second on your password. Start with one. Add some characters. Add an exclamation point, a period, upper, lower case. Scramble some things around, and you will find how quickly it goes from seconds to centuries to be able to figure out a password. And remember, and this is the security side, when you're on somebody's website and you're storing passwords, normally, because they want to save money and don't want to pay tech support for you to call every time you lock yourself out, these companies generally don't let your account lock out. So this means these guys can just hit you up many, many times. And on a big site like Twitter or Facebook or a massive, you know, like Bank of America site. If for some reason your account is targeted on a list, this can be hit by bots from all over the world, not just one computer, thousands of computers. So the attack scenario can go from 1,000 guesses per second to 100 billion guesses per second really fast. And if somebody were to steal an encrypted hard drive, they could do trillions of guesses per second with the right computer. And believe me, if you've got something, these guys, they don't care if you have $100 in the bank or $100,000 in the bank. They're going for volume, and every dollar is a dollar for them. So you will get on a list. And if you get exploited on, say, your Facebook site, and you use that same ID and password for your Twitter site, guess what? Your Twitter account is probably going to be next. If you're interested, search for a guy named Steve Honan, H-O-N-A-N. Back in 2012, he works for Wired Magazine. He got hacked, and within a matter of an hour, he lost everything. His publishing site on that. I got to back out. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I think we got a little. Yeah, well, there is a timer on this, but we're going to see if we can get that lengthened out for Tuesday. So we just reset real quick. Yeah, and then actually what Jim's saying there, a lot of good information out there, live information so you can see exactly what you're doing with that password. So right now, and then this is actually, I read an article just yesterday, example, a guy took older servers, okay, something that's not the latest and greatest, and you can get these on eBay all the time, anywhere from $50 to $200. These used to sell for $10,000, very, very cheap. It's all phased out gear. It's on that five-year cycle. Some of this gear will accept, depending on what it is, graphics cards, and you can plug in, which is what he did, five fairly new, but not brand new, GPU processor, five graphic cards per server in five servers. So he had 25 graphic cards running, and these cards had typically two GPUs on them. They were special cards. But, I mean, he had 25 of these cards running at a time. The incredible, it was into the trillions, that would be Giga, whatever, with the G, Tera, beyond that, into the trillions of hacks per second. Things that would normally take a century to do were being done in a matter of minutes. So, this is what somebody put together. Yeah, he spent a couple dollars. Let me reset. He did it to prove that it could be done. Now, the bad guys out there, as Jim, as I call them, essentially, the bad guys with money, and this would be into international cyber hacking people, they have no budget. There is no budget. You know, they could have an entire data center hooked up like this, and trust me, they do. This is one of the biggest threats to our national security right now, and they are pounding away at this. It does not get better as time goes on. It gets just more complex. Let me reset. Well, for the meantime, for you and me and our Twitter accounts and bank accounts and anything else we have out there, if you don't have that, great. If you do everything in person, fantastic. Face-to-face is never going to be hacked, at least not yet. So kudos to you that can do that. If you have to do stuff online and you have to have accounts from some sort, pay attention with your passwords. What used to be good, and you might have had the same one now for years and it's worked, that's going to go away. It's not going to work anymore. I'll send it back over to you, Jim. KO6Q here, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Thank you, Tom. I think I said Steve Honan instead of Matt Honan because I was on the Steve Gibson run there. Yes, this is true. These guys do a lot of hacking. And just to slide over to this, because today being the last second Tuesday of the month, Microsoft will issue Windows updates for their 2001 generation operating systems, which includes Windows XP, also their 2003, which is Server 2003. Actually, that goes out a little bit further. You can protect yourself. Guess what the most vulnerable part of your operating system is? That's the level of security you put on your login account. I was happy to hear Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte talking about this the last two couple of weekends. One of the things that happens, especially with Home Edition XP, is to make life easier, your default account comes in, usually without a password, and with local administrator rights, because they don't want you calling them for tech support. So everything works. Unfortunately, with weaknesses in the web browser, you hit a website that has a zero-day exploit, an exploit that's not patched. It can ask for things like, oh, please install this program, and with administrative rights, it will do it. One of the things you can do is create a basic user account. Log in with that. You can back up your profile, move your stuff over. Yes, it's a pain. You can't do Windows updates with that account. There are a lot of things that won't run properly. But if you really insist on using an out-of-date operating system, change your login account. You'd be surprised what they cannot do to your computer to exploit it. That's enough for now. Back to you, KF6Q, KJ6KDL.
All right, Jim. Well, I appreciate all that, you know, and I think this is just something we wanted to touch base on tonight. We've talked about, you know, the uses of computers and electronics, and I think, well, a lot of us have a computer. Some of them are even using this as controlling, you know, through Ham Radio Deluxe or other systems out there, and that is all great. But if you're using it for that, fine. If you're using it for more than that, we'll start taking a look at this stuff. It's frightening to what can be done. I learned so much in a little bit of time from stuff that was free information out there, just unbelievable. One of these things, too, as we go back, this is one thing that's been a victim of the time of being, you know, around for a while. When we all first started out with Wi-Fi networks, we had a thing called WEP encryption. And a long time ago, that got to be hacked so easily that it was a matter of seconds that was done. So people don't use that anymore. Actually, I've seen people using it, but it's crazy that they do. A lot of us out there, most of the people out there used what's called WPA2. Let me reset. If your router set up with WPA2 encryption a few years ago, and I'm going to actually say more like 4 or 5 years ago, that's great. That's fantastic. It was considered to be unhackable. Not the case anymore. Generally, and with that, you've got a password in there, and that password is here. Once again, a key issue. The basic WPA2 system is hackable, and then it comes right back down to the password itself, which can be sent through a password cracker and all the software and word lists, and then it falls victim as anything else. So if you got a router system and you're secured that way, don't forget to check the password on that. Okay, now you may have to change all your devices, what they're logged in as, but that system in itself right there also needs that 10, 11, 12 word security code that goes in there to allow that. And that's why we have that on there, to keep people off our networks and out of there. So, because if they can get in your network, they can start sniffing everything you do on your computer. Where I live, I'd know. You know, I would think I would know. I don't have any neighbors. But my signal goes out for like 3 or 4 blocks with a normal router. Let me reset. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Every Tuesday we can. And so with that said, that's one thing that you have to be careful of there also. So, you know, that's one more thing to check out there. So, anyway, hope this has helped somebody out there or tonight, and I hope it's helped, actually, I hope it's helped everybody out there be aware of what's going down. It's only going to get worse. So right now, though, extend your passwords out to 10 to 12 symbols. You know, letters even help, letters and numbers, and do it with something that's easy to remember. that's okay. That's allowed. And that's at least the first step in the right direction. Jim, in closing, one more time, back to you.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I've heard mixed stories about the WPA2 security. The actual code itself, in general terms, is considered secure, but unfortunately, the hardware and the supporting stuff like universal plug and play, the free Linux code that most of these systems run on that have backdoors in them, those are usually where people get in and do their damage. Those automatic connecting buttons on the Wi-Fi that allows you to push a button on your wireless printer and then your router, and then it says put in a code on your printer and suddenly it's connected. Those things actually broadcast that code that is supposed to be so private and will allow things in. So, yeah, it's always a mixed bag. You add more stuff, madman months. But just remember, computer security drops as soon as you plug in a network cable. The only secure computer is the one that is unplugged from a network. So once you're plugged in, practice safe security, and you'll be okay. Just be careful what you do. This is KJ6KDL. Back to you, Tom.
And I realize we've gone through this whole tech hour, Jim, with you and myself. I'm going to turn it over to anybody out there. Any questions? It is close to 8 o'clock, but we will extend our time out. If there are questions out there between Jim and myself, we will try to answer them. Please come back down to KF6Q.
KF6Neil.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
One thing that dawned on me when I first started filling out the little stupid forms where they want every bit of information they can get for nothing, is that a lot of people I talked to said, oh yeah, when I filled that out, I used my mother's maiden name. Well, that's stupid. And I tried to tell them, because that is what the bank requires, and that's what they verify your account with. And I've had them pull my card and verify my account, because I left my ID at home and I showed them my name tattooed on my arm. But they pulled the card, verified my mother's name, and went ahead. But they ask you for a whole lot of stuff. And the only thing I use a computer for is send some emails to friends and family. Nothing except derogatory, true comments about the form of government that we're falling into. And go online, check out Breitbart, Drudge, and that type of thing. But Yahoo got cracked big time. I only heard it one time on KNX, and that was back about the time that Neiman Marcus got it. Let me reset. And to this day, I have not received one thing from Yahoo. The airhead Huffington bought Yahoo, and since then there's been some severe, drastic, really stupid things going on there. Now I'm finding out that the last two times that I've gone online to check my email, I put in, but I'm really careful about doing it because I'm not a typist, I put in my all my call sign and my password, it kicks back my call sign. It'll do it twice, and it tells me to enter the entire address. I put that in, then it goes through. Is that Yahoo trying to cover their back and not tell people that they may have had everything they own compromised? Or is it just, you know, something with their stupid system? 86 PL.
Some of these things, Harold, I know this is one thing that my wife does with Facebook. And if she has to re-log in or something, if she has bumped out or something, it'll literally send her a text through her phone, and there's a special code, and that special code comes through her phone. She has to enter. If she does not enter that code, which was sent specifically to her phone, no dice. So I think some of these things are actually, they've been hacked. And they're trying to put some extra levels in there, cover their rear end. And it's getting tougher and tougher. You know, like you said, that's basically like Jim was saying, or you were saying, that also that, you know, you get some of this information from one site, it's good, it's automatic key to the city. People have put so much in there. It's the same information used for your identity, and then they wonder why there's identity theft. So back to you, Harold. Go ahead.
This is always on my first time, you know, for the day whenever I will log in, and I figured it's probably, see, they've done so damn many things over there that now you get this huge bunch of nonsense, your daily news, your daily movie, your daily something or other. Airhead Huffington is a communist moron. She's trying to dominate the internet or something, but when I got injured, I was at my sister's. I went online with her computer to check my email, and they wouldn't let me on because I wouldn't make a drastic upgrade. It didn't say what the upgrade was, but I had to do it, and they wouldn't let me on, so I logged off. And when I went back to the library, bang, I logged on, and it went right away. But now they started with this nonsense of put in your, they'll recheck me twice and then tell me to put in my full email address. I do that, and then it pops right up. But if you screw it up that third time, it locks you out, and you have to wait for a certain length of time before you can try to log in again. 86
PM. And that's all good, because that basically keeps people, if you don't have it right, you're not going to get in there, at least over a period of time. And what's happening is, and I'm going to name off a few here, we have MD5, we have SHA, I think it's 512, there's SHA 256. These are actually algorithms, special algorithms that generate some of these codes. These are standards, and there's a few mods of those, but almost everybody out there is just saying, okay, well, we're going to take your password, we'll run it through MD5, which everybody knows, and it's going to create this special number, which is called the hash. So they don't store your password, they don't store your username, they store the hash. So these, and this hash is what we're going to call this very long number. But it's unique, and it's unique, and they also store, you know, whatever else, maybe your name next to it, so they know that hash is you. Well, to get these hash password, you know, these combos, this is where they go in and they actually crack on the back, through the back door, basically, and they get a collection of these hashes, and then they just start taking random names and numbers and whatever, generating, or they may have a pre-computed hash list, rainbow tables, you know, they've got brute force items they can run through, and they've also got word lists now from these passwords. These sites have been cracked. That's the best source of passwords. They have taken maybe, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of passwords, and there's many duplicates in there, and they take those and say, okay, this is what people are using. So most likely, we're going to find these pop up. You know, so with all that said, I mean, it's best thing is get a good password. You know, back to you.
I like I said, the only thing I do, I don't go anywhere near the Facebook or any of that crap. I wouldn't go near Facebook because you have to give them my social security number or something. Really stupid to give that to anybody. The reason I won't get PayPal because they want your social security number. And I don't buy anything over the internet. The only thing I bought over the internet was at Walmart. I found what I wanted, printed out the thing, ordered it, printed out the thing, went down to the store, paid the store at the cash register just like I normally would. They sent me a text on my phone 7 days later or 6 days later when it came in out of Arkansas. Went over, picked it up, and that was highly secure. But as dumb and as treasonous as Jimmy Carter is, he came up with one truly outstanding statement when they were talking about Obama listening in on all the world leaders, and they asked him, did he think that his communications were being tapped into and listened to and recorded, and he said he was dead certain they were. So when he had anything, any correspondence to do with a world leader, he goes, sits down at his desk, writes a letter, puts it in an envelope, stamps it, and drops it in a mailbox. That way, he said, there's no way they're going to listen in on that A86 PO.
Okay, so Stu here, Tech Tuesday in the group, on overtime. And that's true, and low-tech rules. All of the sophisticated things that are going on now, low-tech is basically got 100% security there. So, and that's great. that's fantastic. So, anyway, well, Harold, while we have everybody out there, if there's still anybody out there real quick, and we can always chat after the net, but let's see if there's anybody else out there with any comments or questions.
Okay. ONU, Glenn, in the city of Colton here, Mobile.
Glenn and Colton, how you doing? Go ahead.
Oh, real good. Comment. It is with you use your credit card or debit card at any of the stores. It can be computer hackers there can pick up and steal in the identity and run with it. And that did happen to me. It was Harbor Freight, and I had to go to my bank and change it. And so that can be a scary problem there. Back to you, Net Control. This is KD60NU Mobile 6.
Yeah, ONU. Glenn, glad to hear that input. Yeah, I think we all heard about the Target thing we had with Target, and I think there was another store out there, and I think then they said it probably just kind of disappeared from the news because there's more than they really want to put out there. And there you go. Yeah, Harbor Freight. Wow. Yeah. How many of us go to Harbor Freight? Well, that's where we buy a lot of our cool junk stuff, right? Cheap. Love their stuff. Anyway, with that said, yeah, you think you're secure with their gear, and you're not. And, the only thing, I mean, what is secure, what is not? I mean, yeah, you pay cash. We've actually been kind of weaned off of all the cash system. We've been put into this all electronic stuff for the last 20, 30, 40 years, and they make it easier and easier to use, but they, like Jim said, it's also being easier and easier to hack and more difficult for them to keep that stuff from being hacked out there. So, I don't know. But I appreciate that input, Glenn. Let's see, anybody else out there, comments or questions?
One real quick comment that I'm out of here. I got something I got to go do. 86 PL.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Everybody tells me, oh, yeah, this is, if you see that little lock, why it's safe, and this says it's safe, and that says it's safe. And I ask him if everything is so safe in these little junky stores and these websites, how do they do it? And NSA has been hacked. That's something that the media is not saying anything about, but they've been hacked multiple times, first by Russia, now by China. CIA, the military, our nuclear program, they've all of them been compromised by outside forces, enemies, and these idiots are telling me that their website is safe. Go ahead and spend my money on it. I don't think so. 86 PL.
Yeah, is there ever going to be an end, or is it actually, like I said, I think it's just, this is just the tip of the iceberg of things to come. So, all right, I'll let you go there, Harold. Thanks for all the input tonight. Appreciate you being out there. And one more time, anybody out there, comments or questions?
KK6, FJE, Zach and Sugarloaf.
Zach and Sugarloaf, yes, go ahead.
One thing to do if you ever do need to buy anything on the internet is take your cash down to the local Walgreens or whatever their store that supplies them and buy a prepaid credit card and buy your item that way. And then periodically check it throughout the next 6 months and see all the fraudulent activity that you'll see a hit for.
You know what, Zach, I think that's a great plan, and I have to say there is somebody up here in Sugarloaf. Well, he's off the hill now, and he probably won't be back for some time, but a good friend of mine, and that's exactly what they would do is, and you know, you can actually, with some of these credit cards, you can load them back up, which is great. You know, I mean, you can, let's say you need to buy something that's $49.50, you put $50 on that card, and let's just say there are no transaction fees, you put the money on the card, you go buy your item, there's 50 cents left there. They could actually hack my 50 cents, I would not care. But, you know, like you say, you've got that safety feature, you need something else, you can put a couple bucks more on the card and do that. We have banked over the years with Security Pacific, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and not going to mention who we're with now, just because. But we had our account with Wells Fargo hacked. My gosh, we had to have new cards probably at least a half a dozen times. They were hacked through the scam of card readers at the gas pumps. They were hacked through, a couple other, basically cracked Wi-Fi in a secured environment, which was not secure. That's just two that hit me on the top of my head there. You know, with that in itself, and do we blame Wells Fargo? Well, I don't know. I mean, actually, the way these things were getting through there wasn't actually coming through the bank. It just happened to be who we were banking with. So with that said, prepaid card. Glad you brought that up, Zach. Fantastic. Anything else to add with that?
I did have one other comment, but it's more for the what you were talking about with the computer stuff. If you ever want a really good computer but for a cheap price, go find out what was the best computer out there 2 years ago. Go build the thing, and it'll last you a good 6-8 years better than most of these companies that give you these basic systems. They usually shut down in two.
You know, and I agree with that. And Zach, you haven't been to my house, and there's a couple people are going to chuckle on this one. Probably have somewhere between 40 and 50 operating, not all at the same time, computers, though. And I have, right now, the one I use for a lot of the research here is literally a P3 computer running Windows 2000 Pro. But I have some XP machines here, which I like, XP. And got one or two here with Windows 7, which is also good, but yeah, and it's all old stuff. I bought one computer, brand new, and I probably spent $3,000 on it, and it was the going rate at the time, and then I learned my lesson that what people throw away 3 years from now is stuff that's like $3,000 today.
It must have been about the mid-90s when systems were about $3,000. Yeah, prices come down. You spend $3,000 nowadays, and it's you get a hell of a system. Anyways, that's all I got. KQ6, FGE, listening.
Now, Roger that, and it was. And I have actually another box that was donated from a relative. Helped her pick it out. Oh, my gosh, early 2002, 2003. Something like that, in that era, and great computer, great Dell unit. Now, I mean, literally not, but I think she paid, even up to that point, it was about $3,000, $2,500, $2,800. Today, of course, yeah, a lot cheaper, depending on what you buy. You know, it's, you know, of course, now we have flat screens, then there were none. Flat screens used to be $300, $400, $500 and up. Now they're $100, $150 or cheaper if you get them, you know, where somebody's tossed them. You know, so it's all changed. It's all relative. I think what we have now is that they've maxed out for a while on the hardware of what, you know, there's new stuff coming out, but it's really not that much greater. So they're selling stuff to sell it. So anyway, thanks, Zach. Appreciate it. Anybody else out there, comments or questions?
I got one real quick and I go.
Thought you were gone, but that's okay. Go ahead.
To show you how safe you really are with a card, I heard this on the radio and then I read it on air on Breitbart. Someone here in California, Southern California, I believe, managed to embed in the door facing of a bank a card reader. And he said, apparently said in a car outside, it had a transmitter attached to it, a tiny little transmitter like you can build for $15 at Radio Shack, and sat there with a recorder, and he had every card transaction that was done in the bank for, I think they said, at least a month. They weren't sure how long it had been going, but it was somewhere, I believe, beyond a month before somebody's card came back, and it was apparently raided, and they started, had some kind of security system come in and search the bank, and he had somewhere or other, while they were open, embedded this system in the door, the part that closes. And nobody realized it, nobody saw him do it, and nobody, I guess, really knows what, how well he did on that 86 deal.
KSSQ and Tech Tuesday in the group. Yeah, and I'm thinking this was 1980s. We lived in the Mirror Home area for almost 30 years, so 1980-something. Started out with Security Pacific Bank. They got sucked up by B of A. Did not like B of A, but there we were. There was a B of A there in Norco. Believe it's still there. There were people. This is, they didn't catch them at first. I'm going to say 200-300 yards away. Which is still in range of a nice good scope they would have, they would have, whether, but you know, for a rifle scope, not a problem, at range. And they were in a position where they could see people punching in their PIN code and paying attention to that. Now, this is old tech. This was going back in the mid-80s. Well, now, of course, they have little buttons, little dots they can literally put on the keypad itself, and that itself, each one transmits back. You know, there's technology for you. Yeah, it's, I don't know. You're scaring me about that card thing, though. I just used one in a door. I'm like, oh, no.
It's apparently read everything that went on in the bank as far as, you know, the digital cards went. And I have no idea how they weren't putting in any details. It was just, you know, it was a news item that they put out to, I guess, warn people. The thing of it is, debit cards are safer online than they are in a store. Credit cards are safer in a store than they are online. But a debit card in a store is fair game. I mean, you know, it's like using a stick of dynamite to go fishing with. People have low readers. They drop in their pocket, not even noticeable, and they read from 30 to 50 foot every transaction that's going on the little head that they have sitting there on the cash register. And they just walk out with, there's like apparently a little recorder in it, and they walk out with a
fortune, I guess you could call it that. Be like gold mining and hitting the mother load, the 86 deal.
Yeah, there's technology, right? Oh, boy. Anyway, good deal. Well, you know what? We're going to get closed down Tech Tuesday here. I think we got everybody out there with questions. I don't know if Jim's still out there, but I hope he's put our recorder into overtime mode. But good to hear you out there. So let's go ahead and we'll close the net, returning the repeater back to normal use, of course, and then that means we can still jump back on here. But anyway, this is KF6Q thanking everybody. Now, if you're out there listening still, fantastic. If this has helped you in any way, I hope anyway, if it keeps you from getting hacked in some way, shape, or form. This is going on. For more reading material, I can say Google. It's okay. They won't come and arrest you. You can Google password cracking, and it'll actually bring up a lot of articles that are out there right now, and you're probably going to see some of the other stuff, too, that you may not even need, of course, because you're not one of the bad guys, but yeah, it's all out there. Great articles, stuff, and you'd be amazed at how easy it's become, so be advised, and we'll see you again next Tuesday. Try to have something here in the technology sector, whether it's radio or not, but we do favor radio. This is KF6Q returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again.
KF6Q, KJ6, KDL.
Howdy, I figured you'd kind of like this topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pet peeve of mine. Man, my network security that gets me in trouble. Security and convenience, you know, they're usually on the opposite end of the spectrum. So, yeah, that's something. You know, that stuff that Harold was talking about on the distance readers, you know, basically what these guys have been doing, have been adding a shell that has 2.4 or 5 gigahertz transmitters, usually Bluetooth and Wi-Fi at 2.4, and they'll, you know, they're really good at molding skins, usually on motorized readers, which is something we don't have, and they'll actually read the card data. There's, you know, the classic is the little pinhole camera that catches people entering things. But there was a high-tech one that was pointed out a couple of years ago that used Bluetooth for the card reader. It transmitted down to a skin where the pin pad was. It was a false pin pad with a pass-through, and when somebody would do the card reader, it'd send a Bluetooth pulse with the card track data in it down to that box, and that box would turn on and record the pin and then transmit it out to a guy's car. And the guy just left the car there with a laptop and a receiver, and he picked up cards, and the thing would auto-forward it to a foreign country website, and people were just getting slammed. That was, I forget where that was in the United States. I'm thinking Chicago, but that was crazy. They confiscated the car. It was a stolen car. They really didn't ever pick up the owners, but they were able to shut down the website eventually.
You know, and it's really, like you say, there's, I just was, you know, scanning through here again, too, with some of the other, you know, these little module units with, and I'm going to drop the name Arduino, but, you know, actually, it's many, and Raspberry Pi and all those, a lot of good stuff out there, but the modules they're making for this stuff is what's incredible. The module market is what's going off the charts, and they, because they will interface, too, with Texas Instruments, Microchip, STI, all of them have developer boards that are trying to compete really cheap. And of course, all this stuff works with each one. They're using the same interfaces, the same serial communications protocols, which there's probably three or four out there, but they're all available out there. And so with all this here, there's stuff up 5 gigahertz stuff out there. There's all kinds of stuff, and it's like, okay, well, and it's plug and play, literally. And if you don't quite understand how to hook it up, you can download the manual on that piece for, you know, for free on the internet. And if, you know, you want to, you can pick up a lot of this stuff very, very cheap. And a lot of this stuff is just, you know, we're talking under $20, and a lot of it under $10. It's Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was, it had to be 12 years ago, I watched one of the, oh man, now it's G4 Network, when it was ZDNet, one of the tech shows, and they were showing how to do a palm reader, and it was just a few bucks, you can get a card reader, and it'll read all the tracks, and it showed how people could skim that, and now it's, you know, you add wireless and network technology, and man, that data goes everywhere really fast, so... that's a scary one. The door locks, yeah, I never thought about that, like Citibank. Most ATMs now have, including ours, have anti-skim devices that listen for RF noise, light blockage on the card receiver, and they'll actually shut down the ATMs. So unless a bank is large enough that they can take the hit for somebody getting skimmed, these ATMs, you go in there and the thing's offline. Half the time it's because somebody stuck the card in wrong and false tripped the thing. And somebody has to go in there and verify the machine is good and manually restart it. So yeah, it's down to the social engineering part. It's too bad we didn't get there. Harold touched on that. Most of our social engineering hits are people calling up. And with automated systems saying your card's been locked out, if you enter your card number and PIN number, we'll unlock you. It's like, why would they even want to know that? They don't need to know your PIN. They already have your card number, but, yeah, people do it. So, yeah, the social engineering thing, that's a topic on itself, how to keep from falling prey to people calling and pulling your last four digits of your Social Security number, your mother's maiden name, your card, your PIN, things like that. Are Microsoft calling to fix your computer? Like that'll ever happen?
Comment.
A comment recognized. 1 second, just real quick. Jim, you know, here's one. I mean, basically and yes, there are people who will fall for that. I knew one, and I actually had to fix their computer for them. But you know, well, you know what? What we you know, we got all that information now. We currently have. After they've gone through all the public information that everybody knows, so then you think that they know who you are and they are, and they'll say, well, you know, we have basically your credit card number of such on record. Is that still a current card? They'll rattle off anything, and they say, well, no, that's no, I don't know where that came from, but that's no good. Well, let me give you our new card, and then they'll, of course, get the number in the back and yada, 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 but oh, boy, yeah. Comment out there. Go ahead.
KK6, FJE, Zach. As far as, I had a couple comments. One, as far as networking, go low-key, like you said. Always be hardwired network instead of Wi-Fi, because Wi-Fi transmits signal. If you find that signal, you can tap into it. As far as cameras, you can visualize just by sitting near somebody's house their entire security system if they're on a Wi-Fi. That's why CCTV is better. All closed caption, because it's all hardwired. But closed circuit, excuse me. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they used to call that war driving. Jim, you remember war driving? Well, go ahead, get your laptop all charged up. And if you're good, you know, you got the right software, you can actually even amp up your network, built-in network receiver a little bit, driving around a neighborhood, literally see who's secure and who's not. Most of them are these days, but like we were just saying, and this is fact, WPA2 is at the mercy of the password that is used. There's a hash, a way to retrieve the hash from stuff that's being sent back and forth. And Jim, you don't need to push that special button anymore. Okay, this is coming from any router at that point in time. And it's, I'm not going to talk about how it's done over the air. But basically, you end up with a hash. And, of course, you run this hash through Password Cracker. And bingo, most people with Wi-Fi have got real simple passwords. And I have not done this, so just I'm going to clear myself of that. but it's been done. And with that, you know, and then next thing you know, if you've got through their Wi-Fi, getting into actually something else with their network, you know, Jim knows how that works. May or may not be easy, but, you know, all of a sudden you're listening in. You're on their network, and they don't even know you're there. Back to you real quick, Zach.
Have you ever, guys, heard of Kevin Mitnick?
Not particularly, but go ahead. One more time, go ahead. It had some interference there. That's you, Zach. We're getting nothing but a tone across there. Check and make sure that one of your keys and your keypad's not locked on. You got nothing but tone. And I'm going to send it back over to Jim real quick. Anyway, WPA2 used to be good.
Yeah, I understand that. It's the actual protocol itself is good. It's all the supplemental stuff, like you were saying, the universal plug and play broadcaster and all that. It's it's all the add-ons. And if you listen to the news, I forget that one Chinese company now that they found a back door in their routers and. It's like a six-letter name, I can't remember it, but there's always been the fear that the lower-end Linksys and Netgears were in the same boat, but no one's been able to really anchor it down. But like you said, if somebody tries, you know, just sits there and samples long enough, it's that the easy wizard thing. It's got a different name with different routers. But that thing over the course of an hour will broadcast everything you need to remote connect into it. It's the Linux backdoor, so you turn on MAC filtering, of course your wireless broadcasts the MAC address, so it's easy to spoof that. But if you turn on MAC filtering and you don't have a MAC, you know, somebody comes in with a MAC that's not programmed, these back doors will let you walk right in. But security. Mitnick has a security site, and Krebs has a security site. It's amazing because if you don't do it right, you're not secure. And as secure as you think you are, you're generally not secure enough. So just be careful what you do. Social engineering thing. Don't get talked out of stuff. I like the idea of the temporary cards. Bank of America bought out ShopSafe some time ago, and we use ShopSafe cards to generate a temporary card for a fixed amount of money in a fixed amount of time. So once you use it, you can't do it again. So if one of these vendors gets hacked and that card is stolen, it's already no good. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, we need to really look into that ourselves. Yeah, no, they're, and I'll tell you in person or on a Verizon, but they've essentially they sample the air, the packets going through the air, and they have a way of, there's ways of making the router spill the beans, put it that way, and that's how they do it. And it doesn't matter whose router, and that's all they do. They simply make it spill the beans, and it pretty much kicks everything out there, and you end up with basically just one number to hash out. That's it, and then you run it through they're running that through Wordless, and generally Wordless, or especially the hacked password Wordless is basically, that's done in a matter of seconds. So Anyway, so, well, you know, this is going to have to come up with another system or method. But in the meantime, or good passwords, like I said, make that password good. I got to change ours. It means I got to change all our other stuff, too. By the way, Kay got her Galaxy 4. Pretty cool. Check this out. Let me reset first. Okay, so she had this old flip phone, kind of, or was it a flip phone? I don't know. Anyway, had a little pop-out keyboard thing for texting. I think it was a Samsung. Anyway, and she asked me, she says, well, how do I get all my contacts off of that phone onto this new, the new one here? And we had it all charged up and ready to go. And I don't know, it did it itself. She didn't do anything. Next, it linked up with the other phone. It grabbed all the birthdays, the phone numbers, and everything, and it was done in a matter of like about a split second. Wow, that was cool.
Oh, and that was when you got the phone and you were actively transferring. That's pretty neat.
And she was asking me, she said, well, how do I get to do that? I said, well, I don't know. I said, you know, maybe there's a Bluetooth them together or something. And next thing she knew, and maybe the Bluetooth was already on in the one phone, and it just synced up and grabbed everything and then activated itself. That was cool. And shut the other phone down. Smart little guy.
Question.
Go ahead.
That caught my attention. I got where I was going. I'm doing my breathing thing and listening out, and I said, oh, man. You don't need a little card reader. You just bought one. You walk around and read everybody's business and select out what you want on that. That should work good going down the street or in a packed elevator. 86 feet off.
And I know that if you, anybody out there has got a Samsung, anything, they're cool, they're good. We looked at iPhones, we looked at Android phones and whatever. A couple things, Samsung will actually accept an SD card, micro SD, up to 64 gig. The Samsung battery is actually replaceable, you can get to it. Some of these phones, you can't even take the back off with the battery. When it goes, if it ever wears out and you still have the phone, good luck. What else? Big screen, 5 inches across, diagonal. Very, very cool features with that. Couple of little add-on things, but then with this other memory, I mean, we got tons of memory now for everything. And that was just, a few more bucks, bought that separate. Let's see, what else was it? Oh, very cool things. It's got an infrared transmitter. You can program it to operate anything on infrared, TV, open your car, whatever. Go through the gate at NSA, not a problem, I guess, if you had the right code. Anyway, a lot of cool stuff. Wave your hand over the phone, it'll answer without touching it. It'll actually read your eyes and scroll, retina stuff. This is in this little phone. And this isn't the newest. The latest and greatest is just coming out, I think, this month or next month. So, yeah. So with all those as a plus, everybody said, well, get an iPhone. Well, why? Okay. I don't want to go to the Apple store every time I want to buy, put something on it. Anyway, back to you, Jim.
Yeah, phones now are powerful computers. It's amazing what we carry in our pocket. A computer we probably would have bought 5 years ago is sitting in our pocket, if not better. And you have to be careful. There's stories of people attaching little devices to those things and able to sniff RFID tags. Not quite popular yet. They're mostly getting passports, things like that, the government started implementing. But, a nice little flat array, 12 dB gain antenna, in a small little, kit, you can build a little RF pinger to get that thing to echo back, and you can just walk around recording stuff. It's amazing.
RFID, I mean, yeah, we're talking about that for some of our ECS events. Yeah, so if you actually had a credit card that would activate that way, boy, that's not too smart on the credit card companies. I mean, what are they thinking? Oh, no. Oh, well. Yeah, but it's so easy. You don't even have to put the card in the machine, and everybody near you knows your stuff. Oh, boy. Anyway, after seeing hers, yeah, I'm an old-school guy with an old-school phone, but I'll tell you what, it's just too cool. I know what's on my wish list now.
Yeah, Rosemary and I think we're going to break down after she gets back and gets settled in. We're going to look at that S5. Verizon has a deal, buy one, get one free thing, and I think they were doing the same thing with the S4. We may break down and do that just so we have matching phones again. Hers, I can't believe that Droid X has lasted so long. First she had hers failed and she got her X replaced, and then a year later mine failed and I got an X2, and then a few months later it failed and I got an M. I can't keep doing that. It's this one seems to be hanging on, but it is acting kind of weird. So I think they do that. They're planned obsolescence in one way or another.
Yours are like droids. Yeah, they had the S4, basically $100 for two, you know, second one free, whatever, $100 for two. The S5 pre-order, you know, double that, $200, but you get two, so you know, a little more money, but not bad for what they do. Not a $400, $500, or $600 iPhone, you know, but I don't know. Anyway. And I've seen my daughter's got an iPhone, and I said, like, wow, what a small screen, and she got mad. And then her husband, we're all out to dinner, and he had a Galaxy Note 2, which is just slightly bigger, but man, it looked big, and he told me, and he is really good with this stuff. I mean, he's really up to date with all the stuff. He told me, he says, I still can't figure out everything on it, but yeah, they have, Samsung's got what they call easy mode to get you used to the phone. You put it in easy mode and, you know, then you can, when you get up to that other point, I guess you can really start doing stuff. So, I don't know. Anyway, very, very cool. Yeah, I think you'll like the Samsungs. They're good.
Yeah, it's still an Android operating system. It's just a different flavor. And, you know, it's one of the complaints that people had was all the junkware that the Samsung phones had. So they had to be subsidized. Let's face it, if you just bought the thing outright, it cost you, you know, $500 or $600 for one of these phones. So it's the trade-in. You just have to be careful when you load stuff. Man, read the software installs when you go to the Play Store and download stuff. And find out what permissions the software needs. I had two GPS programs, and one of them, I just let it do an update, and then suddenly it started giving me adware and downloading ads across the internet, beating up my bandwidth, so I got rid of that one. I had a Compass program, and it suddenly wanted to know my contact list and control my phone, you know, control my phone calls, make calls on its own, delete data. It's like, there's no reason for this. So, yeah, Facebook wants to do that. I put the Facebook app on my phone, and after it ran for a week, it wanted to do an update, and it wants to totally remote control my phone and act as if it's me using it, do everything that I would do on it. So I'm not updating that. It's just got to be careful, but use it smartly, and there's some good tools out there, and it's really an amazing computer in a pocket. KJ6KDL with KF6Q. I'll do a few more minutes, and I back down and get ready for the end of the evening.
Very cool, and we all know what a MiFi is, you know, that extra device you can buy and links in with your Verizon whatever account and spreads it out. I don't think there's a charge for this, but the actual Samsung phone will link in to your Verizon, you know, data account, and it then 2.4 gig out to up to 10 devices locally. So, and they all share that same link. Of course, you're still paying for the data, you know, if whatever is used, but it acts as that device with no other bells or whistles attached.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's, we have, I forget what they got. It's the older name before MiFi became popular in our phones, but it's, you can hotspot it and turn it on. Of course, you have to agree to pay the bandwidth on that one, because it's not quite the same as the MiFi. But yeah, it's like those little MiFi pockets. So you just activate that and it uses your existing bandwidth. So that's what one of the things I'm looking forward to, this version that we have. It's not MiFi capable, but if you turn it on, you pay a little extra and you can do internet from your phone, but then it charges on your usage. So if you don't use it much, but you need it once in a while, like say end of the month ham radio club meeting, that's pretty cool to be able to pop on the internet, especially if you have an HDMI socket on the phone and you can plug it into a projector.
Yeah, that's my thoughts. I don't know if she's going to let me borrow her phone. But anyway, somewhere down the road, though, probably this year, pick up. You know what? And she told me, she said, well, if you were going to get one, we could have just got two. I said, well, I don't really need it yet. I said that before I saw hers. It's very cool. It is thin. I mean, like, super thin. That's what I find amazing. I'm thinking like, wow, how'd they get all that in there? But pretty neat. Well, look through HTC, LDGs, a lot of stuff out there, a lot of hardware out there, and a lot of good stuff too. That, you know, it's just a matter of going through a couple of all the features and what features we felt were important. One of them was a removable battery. I thought that was important. The other one was able to take an SD card. I don't believe, I might be wrong, but I don't think the iPhone we looked at would do that. And, you know, so you can actually, this phone is like, I think 16 gig, maybe 32, I'm not sure. But we have an extra 64 gig chip in there, which you can take out without a lot of hassle. It's inside the case, so it doesn't get damaged. And, you know, switch it out. So, to me, that's important. I think that's makes it, you know, there's a lot more you can do with it. The infrared beaming device, beam me over here, Scotty. You know, it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. Didn't know phones had those. That's the first time I've seen that. So I don't know if we're going to program it as a remote for our TV, but there's an app for it.
Interesting. Hey, so, yeah, that's something that Rosemary and I used to like. We had Toshiba PDA units when those were popular. And once in a while, we'd have something in our contact list that the other one didn't have, and we could actually point the phones at each other, or at least the emitter and receivers, and beam each other data. So that's kind of neat. You might actually be able to do the slow modem transfer of something that isn't readily shareable across something like you set up your Google account, you set up a Gmail account, and then you can put something in your calendar and it shows up there, and you can invite somebody else who you know their account, and you can have agendas and contact sharing and all sorts of neat stuff. So I'm looking, and I see the mobile hotspotting on the S5, which I assume is on the S4, but yeah, they don't have the HDMI socket. So I've got a cord, and Rosemary's right now is the only one that can play video, but the X2, that one, you could actually surf. We did that a few times on the radio club meeting. You could actually surf the internet on the screen and then transfer your screen up onto the on the projector. Pretty cool.
Question.
2 with KJ6KDL and AD6PL out there with Second Herald. That's the Wi-Fi or the hotspot is on the S4. And yeah, that's the HDMI. Well, you know what? Probably that's one feature didn't have. Anyway, go ahead, Harold.
I just had a highly technical question here. When you went with those things, whenever you want to make a phone call, what do you look for, a payphone? 86 PL.
Yeah, see, because it's got an app on the phone that shows you, like, you know, it locates the closest payphone. And then gives you a map how to get there. I don't know. You know, and that's, but I appreciate the humor. Back to you, Jim.
Yeah, Harold, that's, that was one of those running jokes. You see, young people, they don't like to talk anymore. They're too busy texting each other and chatting. It's amazing that the actual being able to do bidirectional communication with somebody with audio seems to elude them. This was one of my running jokes. You can tell the difference between somebody over 30 using a phone and somebody under 30 using a phone, because the person under 30 using a phone is looking down at their hands. And the person over 30 is looking straight ahead with their hand to their ear. So, and that was a joke on one of the Terminator TV series, Sarah Connor story. She goes into a store and this kid's telling her about all of this fancy stuff the phone can do. And she asks the question, if I push these numbers, will it actually call somebody? Back to you, Harold.
Just sitting here, all the things that those overpriced toys will do, and I'm wondering, you know, what you do when you really want to make a phone call when it's necessary. And you can't find a payphone anymore because they're taking all those out, so you're really in trouble. Maybe Bill O'Brien sends smoke signal, AD6PL.
Well, the thing about the payphones, incredible, is that they just seem to vanish. I don't remember hearing it on the news, like, they're taking out the payphones. This is your last chance. I know at one time they you could never call a payphone back because too many other purposes were being used by the payphones, people, that used to hang out by payphones. But, yeah, I remember, God, it just seemed like all of a sudden they're all gone. And, yeah, actually, like, so her phone basically cost us $50. So that was actually, check it out. Okay, because they have the 2 for $100, right? So they also had an offer of a refurbished phone. And this is interesting. Factory certified, factory refurbished for $50, one phone. And we got it, and guess what? Everything in there was brand new. I don't know about refurbished, but it was brand new. So, good enough. $50, yeah. Now, paying $500 for a phone? That ain't gonna happen, okay? $200 or $300? I don't think so. Because they just don't have the lifespan. But anyway, back to you, Jim. KF6Q.
Yeah, that's a shame. These things are designed to, after 2 years, they want you to buy another phone. So, but yeah, that's one of the things. I did not realize that the S-Series had a removable battery. I think maybe the S5, I'll have to look. One of the things, and this is another running joke, if you want to be secure, you want to run around without anybody finding you, like the NSA or somebody. Cell phones talk to towers, even when you think you turned them off. The only safe way to make sure you're off the network is to pull the battery. And just remember, Jason Bourne, first thing he did is he threw the cell phone out the window because he didn't want to get caught. So never use a cell phone unless if you're worried about your personal security and safety.
Exactly. So, there you go. Yeah, we don't want to have, I mean, if we need another battery, great, probably won't ever have to buy one, but we can remove it, the phone comes to a halt. So anyway, and a lot of the other devices, non-removable backs, even now this was weird, came with a SIM card in it, but that wasn't the SIM card, a separate one was issued to us. So I actually had to pull a SIM card out. Maybe it's been used, but I don't know who used it. There was no signs of usage whatsoever. I think they rebuilt the whole thing. Now, why it already had a SIM card in it, I don't know. But we actually got a separate SIM card, which was, you know, the one issued to us. So we have an extra SIM card. Ta-da! I guess we could put it in a SIM card reader to see what's on it. But anyway, so we just set that aside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember when I got my phone, but mine came with a SIM card on the M series, the M and the Max, were the first generation that went to the SIM card design. And I can't remember if it was just a blank in there to cover the hole or if it was a real card. But I have to think about that. It's been so long. It's not important anymore, I guess. So, anyway. All right, well, it's almost 9. I'm going to go ahead and back out, start taking care of the dogs and getting set to pick up Rosemary tomorrow. So it'll be a long drive. She's good. I set up the Jeep like a hearse. So she's got a place to lay in the back because she won't be able to sit up very well for a few days. And I think it's a couple of weeks. She's supposed to keep that leg elevated as much as possible. But give her about 2 weeks. She'll be cruising around the house pretty well. All right, Tom, KF6Q, this was a great night. I just let the recorder go. It's still going. It's going to shut off in a few minutes. See what we got. I don't know if I should put the audio up on the website past the cutoff or not. It was a really good evening. But this is something to think about. Our data is out there, and we're giving it away whether we like it or not, and a lot of industries are taking what little they collect. We give everybody a little bit. And somehow these companies, they get in the back and they coalesce together and they assemble that. And it's amazing how much our data is worth and what drives these people that know more about us than we care to ever let them want to know about us. And they already do. Have a good evening, Tom. KJ6KDL. I'll be clear in QRT in a few.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, I'll put the whole thing up there if you want. That would be like, call it Tech Tuesday on overtime or something. I think it is, I thought it was a blank too. I've seen that in phones, but yeah, this one actually has real contacts, a real ID number on it. So, that's why I was really, at first I think like, well, why is that in there? But anyway, that was already inserted. Now, is there anything on it? I have no idea. But we just did... took the one out of the little punch card and snapped that in, and all was well. So, all right, take care. Good luck getting her up here. I'll be doing probably another half day over in Boulder Bay, getting back on my feet, getting out there, doing some work. Legs don't want to stand up all day long. I'm used to sitting too much. This is terrible, but that's okay. A little more exercise, be out there. So, all right, take care, Jim. Catch you later. KF6Q. We'll be clear.